Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Now, while the Israeli government considers its response to the attack by Iran, latest figures from Gaza show that over 76,000 people, mainly civilians, have been injured by Israel over the course of the war, while 33,000 people have been killed. The European Hospital, one of the very few still operating in the territory, is home to large numbers of the injured and displaced people, some of whom are camping out in hospital corridors. Before we came on air, I spoke to Dr. Mohamed Shalan, who's a surgeon based in Ireland, who's just returned from the European Hospital, where he's been volunteering as a doctor, and I began by asking him to describe the conditions at the hospital.
Yeah, the condition in Gaza actually is terrible. I shared in two wars before, in Gaza 2012 and in Saudi Yemen conflict 2016 before I came to Ireland. This is the worst I saw in my life, you know. Injuries, there's massive injuries. Number of patients is huge number of patients. Plus, the hospital is everything for people, not for patients, for people. They get their electricity from there if they want to charge their phone, baking, and they are living actually inside the hospital. They are hanging bed sheets from the roof, and they are just living behind this. There is no privacy. The hospital is overcrowded by families, not by patients only. Patients, yes, in the rooms, you can see like 8 or 10 patients in a small room on just a mattress on the floor or on beds. So the hospital is overcrowded. The region around the hospital is also overcrowded with the tents, like the plastic tents, you know. This like the greenhouses, you know. If you walk everywhere, you will find these tents and families living inside this part. The major concern of mine is for the infection, because this overcrowdedness, and we are doing major surgeries, and all of our injuries are open injuries with skin damage and broken bones. So if I receive case like this in my hospital here, we do a lot of wash out, antibiotic, and a lot of care to give to the wound before we fix it. And patient at the end will stay in like a single bedroom or maximum it is 4-bedded rooms here. But there, imagine like 8 or 10 patients in a small room, and plus the relatives around them. The major issue there is also, if you do surgery for a patient and you want to send to discharge patient, where to go? Because their house is destroyed. So I told many patients, like this case, we can do like fix the leg bone or the forearm or the humerus, sometimes the arm bone. We fix it and we can send the patient on the next day or on the third day. Even if it is open on the third day, we can send them home. But we stuck because they said where to go. We don't have houses. We are in tents. So these are the difficulties. And the majority of injuries are among kids, you know. And to manage kids, it is a bit hard, not like adults, especially the soft tissue with the skin loss. And you need to cover this this loss, you know. So it was challenging for me as a surgeon, you know.
And when you say the majority of injuries are among children, what sorts of injuries were you seeing?
Everything, you know, like I saw skin burn. Nearly 40 or 60% and third degree, and five kids passed away in one day. And the number of this is among kids is high, especially with massive skin loss. And to treat broken bone in a child is simpler than adults, but to manage the soft tissue loss in kids is quite hard than adults, because in adults we have donor sites, big areas, like we can take from the other leg, from the back, from anywhere. But for the kids, you know, especially below 10 year of age, it is hard to manage like this. And we don't have artificial skin grafts there. If we can get there, it will help much to save those kids. I'm trying to arrange this on my next trip, to take some with us, you know, to save their life. And also, we have like negative pressure dressing here in Ireland, and it works on open wound fractures nicely. So also I'm planning to carry some with me. I found some there, but it is very simple. Like you apply the black sponge on the skin defect, and here we connect it to a machine and you can control the pressure, negative pressure. But there we connect it to like a regular suction. We use it anywhere. So it is hard to control the pressure, and also it can be disconnected easily. But the machines we are using here, it is secure 100%.
What is it like as a doctor working in the conditions that you've outlined, working in a situation where five children died in one day because the facilities that you need and the supplies that you need simply aren't there to treat them?
Yeah, it was shocking for me at the beginning, but we, as a trauma surgeon, I used to see massive accidents. Especially, I worked before in Mecca in Saudi, and we received like massive injuries there. But it wasn't bad like this, and also the facilities, you know. But our main concern is how to save their life. Mm. I felt it when I came back, and I felt it was too painful for me, this condition. But you know, if you are involved in a work and your main concern is to save their lives and to give them the best treatment, you don't think about something else.
I understand that. Well, I don't understand. I think people who do what you do are just unbelievable to put yourself into that situation. But I understand that you want to help, and that's your main concern. But in terms of the toll that it's had on you yourself, I believe you haven't been able to sleep, for example, since you came home.
Yeah, I am not able to sleep because, my sleeping started to improve. But from the, I think, the high adrenaline in my body, I slept only maybe 2 hours, maximum 3 hours. But I was keen to work day and night because it is 4 theater rooms in the hospital. And this is the only hospital working in Gaza as a major hospital. There are 2 small hospitals, but these are for minor surgeries. So the main surgeries and the main injuries, it comes to the European hospital. So it was in my mind to work day and night. And it was Ramadan time. So I started work from 9 o'clock until 6 iftar time. And then I get break like 1.5 hours, and then I go back and work up to 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning. And then I get some sleep early morning and back to the hospital. And in my mind, when I left from Ireland here to there, I will not get enough sleep. I will not get enough food. I will not get. I'm going for a job to do it properly. So, this was my main focus, you know.
Mm. When then are you hoping to go back, and how long will you stay the next time, do you think?
I spoke to my hospital here, and they allowed me to go for maybe another 3 weeks. These leaves are from my annual leaves, you know. Okay. So I arranged it to go end of May. Hopefully, the arrangement with Egyptian part and the Israeli part will go through smoothly. So if this happen, I will travel end of May again, because the local people they tried to speak to me, please stay with us more, and they wanted me to stay with them 6 months. I told them I can't because of my work in Ireland and because of my family. I have to arrange this, and they are texting me, you know, every now and then now. Mm-hmm. When are you coming back, like this way, because I had a good team there. From medical students, from nurses, and from junior doctors, medical students in their final years, and the university there is destroyed, and I feel they are lost, you know, because they don't know how to resume their study, how to finish the college, and some of them, it is remaining for them 1 year or a few months to finish and to be graduated. But, you know, now the two main universities there are totally destroyed. Documents are gone. So I feel themselves, you know, they are lost nearly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dr. Mohammed Shalan, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.